Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. And we begin about 10-15 lines down, repeating the Gemara's statement of Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul had said that in our Mishnah, we don't say that it's limited to certain things, but we say, Kol Sha'ani Zakai Bamiroso, Rashai Ani Bechashichoso. Anything that you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos to do, so then you're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum and be machshir there to go there, so you'll be ready to do it right after Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, about 14 lines down, where it says, Klal Yasu Yemai, this Klal that Abba Shaul had said, so what is this coming to include? And wherever we have a Mishnah that says a general rule, it doesn't really mean a general rule, it means to come to include specific additional cases. So Klal Yasu Yemai, what additional cases are included over here? So the Gemara says, Lasuye Hadu Tanu Rabbanan. This comes to include that which was taught in the Braisa by the Chachamim. The following Braisa states, E Machshichin Al Tchum L'Havi Behema. Person is allowed to go to the edge of his Tchum on Shabbos for the purpose of bringing back an animal after Shabbos. Now, the girsa that we have is Ein Machshichin. That's the girsa in the Tosefta, and we'll first learn it with that girsa. So we're talking here that the animal, and you can see this in Tosos, the third Tosos, Ein Machshichin, he says, according to our girsa, V'yesh Lomar, if it's Goras, Ein Machshichin, V'yesh Lomar, the Ayri Behemo, She'enu Yecholu Lovo Baragla. This is an animal that can't go on its own. Tosos says, for example, could go on Tilat Cotton, a little Shepsela. They can't go on its own. Elim King, you saw it because if you have to carry it on its shoulders, it's too brand new, it's too newborn that it can't walk on its own. Shafilu Yesh Mechitzos, even if there are Mechitzos here, Eina Rashay Lohavi, there's a problem here with carrying it because the Osel Taltel Balechayim Shem Muktzim. Even if there's no problem with carrying, there's a problem with carrying this because it's Muktzah. That's according to the Girsa that we have, Ein Machshichin. There is another girsa, and Tosus says at the beginning of this Tosus, Yeshram de Garse Machshichin, that you are allowed to go. Why? Lefi Shim Yesh Burganim Holech Umeviya. That there are Burganim, there are these huts that we spoke about in yesterday's shir that allow you to go and carry the animal. If the animal is a big animal, so you'd be allowed to go, it could go on its own, so then you'd be able to reach it. In any event, this Raisa says, Ein Machshichin Al Atum, that's the girsa that we have in the Tosefta. You're not allowed to go and wait there to the end of Shabbos so you can get the animal 1, 2, 3 right after Shabbos. But if the animal was outside the tchum, here we're talking about an animal clearly that can walk on its own. Kari law, you're allowed to call to it, the hebo, and it comes back, and you're allowed to go and get the animal in that way. And here on this klal omer Abba Shaul, here's what Abba Shaul said is klal, and this is what call in our Mishnah is coming to include. The klal in our Mishnah is coming to include koshen izaka by miraso, rashai niva chashichaso is talking about Abba Shaul saying, Koshen Izaka by Rasul Rashani Lachshich Olav is referring to Umachshichin Lefakeach al Iske Kala. That you can go to the edge of the Tchum for the needs of a Kala, like we said, you have to cut the myrtle down. So you wouldn't be allowed to do that on Shabbos. The rabbi said that you're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum to do this for the special needs of a Kala. Of course, you can't cut it down, but you go to the edge of the Tchum. Likewise, Bial Iske Ames, Lavilo Orin Tachrichin. You're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum to make it easier to get Motzi Shabbos right away. The Orin Tachrichin. Again, you have to do an Isser to go and get them. That's why you wouldn't be allowed to do this with something else. But a special cooler that the rabbi said, you can be machshir. You can't do this, of course, on Shabbos, but you can be machshir over here on Shabbos to get right away after Shabbos, they'll get the Oren and the Tachrichin. Likewise, the Omrim lo lech lemokum ploni, you'd be allowed to tell another person on Shabbos, go to such and such a place, lech lemokum ploni, and go and get these things for me after Shabbos. V'im lo mot saw b'mokum ploni. And if you can't find them over there, havei b'mokum ploni. Then you can go to such and such a place to get it. V'im lo mot saw b'mane, havei b'masayim. And now, Abba Shaul says that you can even tell him prices. You say, listen, if it's not for 100, I'm even let you buy it for 200. However, on this latter point, Rav Yosef Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yosef Yehuda Omer, no. You're not allowed to go and mention the amounts. As Rashi says, you can't tell him the mono masayim part. He doesn't seem to disagree with the first part that you can tell him. If it's not there, then go there. But you're not allowed to tell him the price. If it's not for 100, then pay 200 for it. That you're not allowed to do. Next Mishnah. This we already had in today's year, and we had it more in yesterday's year, that you're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum. Everybody agrees that it's not only Abba Shaul, but everybody agrees you're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum for the needs of a Kala. So even though you wouldn't be allowed to cut the myrtle down on Shabbos, so therefore it should have been that you shouldn't be allowed to go, nevertheless here you're allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum and be ready to go, Motzi Shabbos, to go and cut down the Asa, do whatever it needs to be done, Iske Kala, to take care of the needs of the Kala. Likewise, Iske Ames, Rechmon Lusan, if a person passed away, Lohavi Lo Orin and Tachrichim, you'd be allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum, so you can immediately go after Shabbos beyond the Tchum and take care of the needs of the Mace, the Orin and the Tachrichim, the coffin and the burial shroud. Mara says, in addition, once we started talking about this halacha of funerals, so then we'll talk about some other halachas of funerals. So the Gemara says, Nachri shevi chalilim b'shabas. If a Nachri were to bring you the chalil, the flutes that they used to play as dirges at a funeral, Rashi brings down, you're not allowed to use this, lo yispo ben Yisrael, because Rashi says, forever you're not allowed to use this, that he brought it specifically for you, b'shul Yisrael, and Rashi says, it's a la'olam, it's a permanent knas. U'knasu mishum demuchach milsa b'shulo huvo. It's clear that he brought it for you, because the ain derech lovi chalil el b'shul meis, because they only bring chalil for meis, they don't bring a chalil for other reasons. So therefore, if the Nachri brings this flute for you, so Rashi says it's a knas liolam. Others say no. Many of the other mefarshim, Tosus over here says no. Lo kibir shakuntris shapir shalom. He says it's not a permanent knas, but it's just kadeshiyasu. You have to wait the amount of time that would have taken for somebody to go bring this if they started when it was beheta matzi Shabbos. That's the amount of time you have to wait, and then you could use even the chalil that the non-Jewish person brought for you on Shabbos. In any event, this was because the chalil was only used for the mace, and therefore it's clear that he was bringing it for the mace. And if he's bringing it for you, you have either a permanent kanas, like Rashi says, or at least a kadesh yasu. You have to wait that amount of time that we've taken to brought it after Shabbos before you can start using it. Ella imkain baal mimachum krov. However, the Mishnah qualifies this and says the only time you either have this permanent kanas or the kadesh yasu is if he brought it from outside the tchum. But if he brought it from makum karov, Rashi explains, makum karov means b'toch ha-tchum, so then if you know for a fact that he brought it from within the tchum, then you're allowed to use it. Also, lo aron v'chor for lo kever, if the guy made an aron, Rashi says, bishul nachri, he did it for another nachri or for himself, to sell, olimkar. So he's not doing it specifically on behalf of the Jew. He's a coffin maker, and he prepares coffins. So he had time on Shabbos to make some coffins. Whoever's going to buy them, he's going to sell them to. So in this situation, also lo aron v'chor for lo kever, or if he dug a coffin, a grave, and he made a coffin or he dug a grave, so he did it for himself, Rashi says, so you cover by Yisrael. Then a Yid is allowed to be buried, Rahman al-Islam, in that kever or using that coffin. However, Mishnah says, in Bishul Yisrael, if he specifically made that coffin for a Yid or he dug that grave for a Yid, so then lo you cover by Olam is here. Everybody agrees that this is a permanent knas, nobody can ever be buried. Rashi wants to suggest so that from the end it said also it's a permanent knas, so to the beginning of the Mishnah meant the permanent knas, and Tosfos is the exact opposite. From the Vedavka that the end it only mentioned the permanent knas, so that at the beginning it's not a permanent knas. Let's analyze this more. The Gemara starts off and says, Ma'imi Malkum Korb. What do we mean when we said from Malkum Korb? Rashi said it has to be within the Tchum. So does it definitively have to be within the Tchum? That's what Rav says. Rav Omar, Malkum Korb, Mamish. That you have to know for a fact somebody saw it within the Tchum at the beginning of Shabbos, so then you're allowed to use this because there is really no extra tircha that he did. He just brought it to you, but you could have done it yourself, really, so it's not such a big deal, and therefore we don't institute any sort of knas or kadesh yasu in this situation because you know for a fact it was within the tchum, but you have to know for a fact. Well, Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel uses a funny lashon over here, chayshinon. Rashi says that sometimes the word chayshinon means lekula. It doesn't only mean lechumra, that, oh, we have to be concerned about this. No, it means over here, chayshino, we're allowed to be concerned, and we're allowed to assume, shem chutz lechom olanu, that in fact, they were within the tchum of the city, and even though it wasn't within the city, it was within the tchum of the city. You'll have to be choshesh for that lekula, Rashi says, and therefore, Shmuel's more mekul sheet to hear than Rav. And now, the girsa that we have, I'll continue reading, and then we'll read the girsa that Rashi says he prefers, and that's also brought down by the Vilna Gaon and others. And first we'll read the girsa, though, that we have in our Gemara, pretty much reading it straight. So the Gemara says, Daika Masnis and Kavasi de Shmuel. We have a raya from our Mishnah, like Shmuel, that it does not be definitively known that it came from within the Tchum. As long as there's a possibility that it came from within the Tchum, it's okay. And we have a raya from our Mishnah, a deer from our Mishnah, like Shmuel, the Ketani, that Shmuel says he would learn our Mishnah as follows. Also, lo aron v'chofer lo kever yikover b'Yisrael. We said, if you had an aron, or it was grave was dug, so, and we don't know for a fact it was dug for the Yid. It was made for the Yid, the coffin. So then you cover by Yisrael. So, oh, here you see. If it's a Sofik situation, it's a possibility. Made it for a Goy, possibly made it for a Yid. So then you're allowed to use it. Alma, mi sveika shari. We see, even if it's a Sofik situation, a Yid is allowed to use it. So too, Hochanami. Shmuel would say, if it's a Sofik, did it come from within the Tchum or outside the Tchum, mi sveika shari. That's the Girsa that we have. And now we have the Girsa, Vatanya Kavasi the Rab. And we have a Raya that Rav is correct as well. And the Bach adds the words, according to this Girsa, he says, Omar Rava, Rava would say that in this situation, we have the following brisa that goes like Rav. Ir Shi Yisrael V'Nochem Darbo. If you have a city that both a Yid and Goyim live in, now, And there was a bathhouse that was being used on Shabbos. In other words, somebody heated up water on Shabbos. So Imro ben Achim, if the city's majority of non-Jewish people, so then immediately after Shabbos, La'erev Rochitz Wamiyadi, you can go in there because it was heated up for the non-Jewish people. So they didn't heat it up for the Yid. So you can go in there immediately after Shabbos is over. However, Imro Yisrael, if the majority of people in the city are in fact Yidden, so then Yamtin Ad Kedei She'yelchamu Chamin. You have to wait until you have enough time to heat up the water on Matzi Shabbos, and only then can you use it. Because otherwise, we assume that they heated it up for you. And if a guy does work for you on Shabbos, you're not going to get benefit from it until Kidei Shiasu. Fine. Here's where the raya comes to Rav. Merzal, Merzal, it's a 50% chance that the 50% of the city is Yidden, 50% of the city is Goyim. So then, now the Gisa that we have is Osir V'yamtin. So on the side it says it's just V'yamtin, Akidei Shiachamu Chamin. You're not allowed to use the waters until they have enough time that you could have heated them up on Matzah Shabbos. Now here you see it's a suffix situation. Maybe they're heating up for the Yidden. Maybe they're heating up for the Goyim. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to use it. Oh, there's a Tanya Kavasi the Rab. Then in a suffix situation, you're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. You have to wait Kidei Shiasu. Review the Omer, review the adds a qualification. It says Bambati Katana, if it's a small bathhouse, so it can heat up very, very quickly. So Miesh Bar Roshus, if there's a chosh of a person over there, there's a leader of the Goyim over there in that place. Rashi says, Odom Choshev Shalik, you have an important official. So then, Roches Bomiyad, you're allowed to go and use it. Even the Yid can use it immediately after Shabbos because he has lots of servants, and the servants will be able to go and heat it up. As the Gemara says, my Roshus, what does it mean over here, this Odom Choshev? I'm a Yehuda, I'm a Rav, Yitzchak, Rav of Yehuda. He says, Im Yesh Bo Odom Choshev, if you have an important person over there, Sheyesh Lo Asor Avodim, he has 10 servants, Shem Chadon Lo Yud Kumkumin Bevatzachas, and they each would heat up a urn of hot water and pour it into this bathhouse. And this is Bambati Katana, and it's a small bathhouse, so a small bath, so therefore it can get heated up very, very quickly. So then even the Yid can go and do the Rechitza there right after Shabbos. So this is a Mishnah Diuk according to this Girsa to Shmuel, and the Braisa is Kavase Dirab. That's the Girsa that we have. However, Rashi says, I have a preferred Girsa, and you can see this Girsa changes in the Vilna Gaon over here as well, which we delete that there is a Tanya Kavosi de Rav. It's actually Tanya Kavosi de Shmuel. And we don't have a Raya from our Mishnah at all, because our Mishnah could be learned saying, who says that that was a case of Safek? Maybe it was specifically that the guy did it for himself. And it's not a Safek, he didn't do it for a Yid. So therefore, they just have the Girsa, Tanya Kavosi de Shmuel. And they learn this Braisa as being a Raya to Shmuel. Why is that? They bring the Raya from the end of the Raya, where it talks about the Ambati Katana and the Rosh. So therefore, in that situation, it's a Safek. Maybe they did it for this important Choshevah official, or maybe not. So you're allowed to go and use it. That's a Tanya Kavosi de Shmuel. And the reason why the earlier part where it's Mechza Mechza is not a problem is because even Shmuel would have been over there, that you can't say that they did it for the Goyim. They did it for both. So they clearly did it for the Jews in a Mechza Mechza situation. And that's why the first part is not a problem according to Shmuel. In any event, that's the two ways to learn this Gemara. They basically come out with something in support of Shmuel, whichever gears you learn it, either a diuk from our Mishnah or from the Braisa. And the first one we learned, it was also a diuk, a Tanya Kavase to Rav. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, Asalo Arun v'chavelo kevi v'chule. When the guy made it for himself, he was doing it for his own business purposes, or he made it specifically for a guy, then the Yid is allowed to be buried in it right away. You don't have to wait even Kadesh Yasu. Mar says, Amai, Hochanami Yamtim Kadesh Yasu. How come you don't have to wait Kadesh Yasu in these situations? So Amaula, because we're talking about Ba'omeid Bisratya. We're talking about over here that the grave was on a public thoroughfare, and his Sratya is like a highway, and no self-respecting Yid would want to be buried in that situation, since clearly the guy did not make this for a Yid. So if it turns out that a Yid has to be buried over there, you'll have to bury there even right away before Kidei Shiasu. So he says, okay, great, Tenach Keber. That works great for the grave because the grave is specifically made in the Isracha. However, Aron, Ma'ikalimimar, but the coffin, who says that coffin is going to go in that Isracha? So why is that allowed to be used immediately without having to wait Kidei Shiasu? So where it says, no, Bimutal Akibro, because he put it on top of that grave. So therefore, if it's on that grave, it was clearly made for that grave, which is not a grave of a Yid. So it's clearly a grave that was made and a coffin that was made specifically for a guy, and therefore, if it turns out that a Yid has to use it, you're allowed to use it immediately after Shabbos. You don't have to wait Kidei Shiasu. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Osun called Tzarchi Mace. Again, further discussion about a mace. So you're allowed to do all the things that need to be done for a mace on Shabbos that don't involve chilul Shabbos d'oraisa. You're allowed to do all those things in order for kavod ha'meisah, the meisah's body shouldn't decay. So, for example, sochin, you're allowed to go and anoint with oil, or medichin also, you're allowed to rinse it with water, Rashi says, that you're allowed to do. However, you have to be careful, but actually, yours is bo'evi, you're not allowed to move any limb of the mace. The mace is muktzah nebuch, and you're not allowed to move muktzah, you're allowed to touch muktzah. So there's no problem in touching the muktzah by anointing it or by watering, by pouring water on the mace to prevent the decay, but you're not allowed to move the mace. So if you have to lift up the limbs, that you can't do. Shomtin es hakar mitachtov. You're allowed to go and pull out the pillow or the cover that's underneath the mace in order it gets very hot in this cover and the mace would start to decay, nebuch. So you're allowed to pull that out. And likewise, metilin also ala chol. And you're allowed to put the mace on the chol from the bed. You're allowed to lower the mace to the chol, to the sand, bishvil, in order, and we turn to the Amud Beis, in order that the mace shouldn't decay. Sheyamtin, that the body, Rashi says, should remain wet, shelo yasriach, it shouldn't decay, machmas chom, because of the heat of the sadin and the korban, the heat of the pillows and the blankets that the mace is on. So there, here the word shiantin has nothing to do with meaning to wait, it means that it should stay moist, shelo yasriach, it shouldn't decay, it shouldn't dry up. Likewise, koshin es alechi, you're allowed to go and tie the jaw of the mace. What does that mean? Lo shiali, you're not allowed to lift the jaw up. It doesn't look proper if the mouth is wide open. So normally you would close the mouth, but you're not allowed to move the jaw. So what you're allowed to do is to tie it in a way that it won't further open. Lo shiali, not to close it, afshelo yosef, they shouldn't open up even wider. Because once rigor mortis sets in, it's going to be very difficult to close it. So therefore you keep it as closed as possible, but you can't close what it's already open, but you can prevent it from closing further. Likewise, the same similar type of halacha is involved in other hilchos of Shabbos. The chen korah shenishba. If you have a beam on a ceiling that broke and you're afraid that the whole ceiling is going to come down, so again, we're not talking about pikuach nevasha situation. We just don't want the ceiling to break. So in this situation, somchen oso b'safso, you're allowed to go put a kli, such as a safso, the kli you're allowed to move, to put it there to hold up and support the beam from breaking further or falling down further. Or obaruchas hamitra, you're allowed to take a bed and put the bed over there so that the beam doesn't fall any further. Again, not to push it back into its place. Lo shetala ela shalotosit, that it shouldn't fall any further and collapse. That you're allowed to do. So to prevent further, you're allowed to do both by the mace, so that the jaw shouldn't open up further, or that the beam shouldn't fall down further, that you're allowed to do. But you can't push it back, or can't bring up the jaw, or put the beam back into its proper place, that you can't do. Because it's muktzah, and you're not allowed to be metal to muktzah. Gemara starts off and says, well, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, but wait a second, how can you tell me you're allowed to go and do the sicha or the hadacha, the anointing or the rinsing of the mace on Shabbos? But we learned, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Maisa b'talmido shel Rabbi Meir, the ones who's a Talmud of Rabbi Meir. The art school they bring down in footnote number 5, that this is Rav Shimon Elazar, based upon a Yerushalmi. In any event, this Talmud of Rabbi Meir, shenichnas ach lebeis hamelechus, he went in with the Rebbe to the bathhouse. We had said that you can have one student come with you into the bathhouse. It's not proper to have many of the students see you in an undressed state, but if you need an assistant to help you, so one of the students, Rav Shimon Elazar, came in and helped Rabbi Meir out in the bathhouse. And what did he want to do? He wanted to take care of all the needs of his Rebbe. So bikish ladiach karka, he wanted to go and wash the floor, so I guess any schmutz that was there would go away. So he wanted to make sure that the floor, he wouldn't slip on it, wouldn't get dirty on it. How are you allowed to use the bathhouse? So this was before the decree that you weren't allowed to use the bathhouse. In any event, Amalo, so Rebbe told him, no, sorry, ein medich, you're not allowed to go rinse the floor. No, he wanted to go at least anoint the floor, losuch karka, he wanted to put some oil on the floor, mustama, that would make it not slippery. I don't know exactly how that would work, but he wanted to put some oil on the floor to maybe make it smell nice. The Meiri brings down that this would have, sometimes a bathhouse would have unpleasant, noxious types of fumes, and as a result, they would put an air freshener. So this oil was like an air freshener. We'd said that the balsam type of oil, the farsimot, had a nice smell to it. So mistama, they wanted to smear some in a way that wouldn't make it slippery, that they would smear some oil over here, and Reb Meir said as well, Reb Meir said, Amalo ain't sochen. Sorry, you're not allowed to do this. Now, why aren't you allowed to do this? Because you're touching the muktzah, you're rinsing or washing or anointing this muktzah. So how come you're allowed to do this to the mace? If you the Mershmul says that Reb Meir said you're not allowed to do this over here on the floor. So Gemara says no. Karka b'karka michlufa. We have to be concerned with one floor to another floor. If we allow you to go and put the oil or the water on the stones of this bathhouse, which even though they're muktzah, there's no concern that you're going to do an aveira in that situation. If we do that, then you may come to do it with a dirt floor. Now, dirt floor is a problem with putting these things on it, because you're going to be mash v'gumos, you're going to smooth it out, and that's not allowed. Therefore, that's why Rebbeinu said nothing to do with the mukta aspect is because of the concern of mash v'gumos. You're going to come doing it on the dirt floor, and you're going to smooth out the holes in the floor. However, mace b'karka l'michlaf, we're not concerned over here that if we allow you to do this on a mace, you may come to do it on a floor, because that's not going to be a common mistake that people make. Oh, if we're allowed to anoint the mace or rinse the mace, so then you're allowed to go and do the same thing on the floor. That wasn't the concern. Then the Mishnah said that you're allowed to go and do all kol tzorchei ha'meis. Right? The Mishnah had said that a person is allowed to take care of osim kol tzorchei ha'meis. So the Gemara asks, kol, the next word, all the needs of the meis, lasu yamai. What was that coming to include? It's, again, not a general rule. Normally the Mishnah is very specific, so the word kol is coming to include something specific. So the Gemara says, latuyei hodotan rabbanu. This comes to include what was taught in the Braisa. The Braisa taught us that being kli meikar ukli matris, the person is allowed to bring various types of colder kalim. Rashi explains, Shemivim kriris, kigon zchuchis, a glass utensil will be cooler. So you're allowed to bring a cool type of a utensil. It's a utensil, you're allowed to move it. Or klimachis, or metal utensils that are also cool. Umen yichin al kreso, and place them on the mace's belly. On the kreso is the belly of the mace, and the stomach of the mace. Kidei shelo tifoach, in order that it shouldn't go and swell up. The gears that we have is Kiddush L'Tifoach. The Bach changes it around and says Shela Shelo Yehei Tafuach, that it shouldn't go and get swelled up. That bottom line, same thing. Upokin is the cover. You're allowed to go and plug up. Remember, we mentioned Pekak in modern Hebrew is a traffic jam. So you're allowed to jam up. You're allowed to close off the orifices of the maze. Kiddush L'Tikonis Ben Ruach. So air shouldn't go inside and the body should swell up as well. And Shlomo Melech said in his great wisdom, and it's brought down, this is from Koheles, and now this is the 12th parak of Koheles, and this is going to lead for the rest of today's shir and tomorrow's shir, a whole discussion about the 12th parak of Koheles, different psukim there that we're going to discuss, dealing with death, dealing with old age, very interesting, I got it through Gemara, and this is where we start from. Shlomo Melech, Omar B'chachmaso, he said in the 12th parak of Koheles, says, the gears that we have is Ash Ad Shelo Yirase, but on the Bach, he tells us the right way the pasuk should be said is Asher Lo. Ad Asher Lo Yirasek Chevel HaKesef. Now, this whole pasuk we're going to darshan. I'll just darshan this, the Gemara does words by words. So, this is talking about Shlomo Melech is telling us that a person should do tshuva when he's young and not wait to do tshuva when he's old. And he gives an analogy over here to a well. A well had like a pulley system in it that you had one end to wait to bring up the pitcher that you're going to lower into the well, and there was a rope attached to both sides, and when certain things break over here, everything is going to collapse and break. So he says, do tshuva ad asher lo yirasek chevel akesa, that this silver rope shouldn't snap over here. So he says this is a reference zechut hashedra. On a homiletic basis, he darshens this not to be talking about the well, but talking about a person. In other words, don't do tshuva when you're older, when your chut hashedra is going to go and break. The chut hashedra is a white, the spinal cord is a white nerve, so that's why it's referred to as silver. This chut hashedra is like the silver rope. The sorut gulas hazov, in the well analogy, there was a bowl that you put down into the well, the bucket that you put into the well, that's called gulas hazov, and this is a reference to ze'ama, this is a reference to the gid, the penis of the person, that this is called gulas hazov. The word zahav over here is a play on the word zav, which flows from it. So this is a reference to the person's strength is taken away from his ability to procreate. V'sishavir kad al hamabua. The reference over here is to the bucket, the pitcher that's going to break. Zakaris. This is a reference to your stomach. It's going to swell up. V'narutz hagalgal el habor. So what that's referring to, that the wheel, the galgal, that's the pulley that you go and bring up the bucket, zet perish. This is a reference over here to the excrement that's found inside the gut. Hagalgal is a play on the word galal, which is refuse, or tzoa. And then we darshan in this as well. B'chinu Omer, we have another pasuk that tells us in Malachi, B'chinu Omer is a risi perish al pnechem perish chagechem. Kosh Baruch Hu tells Klai Yisrael, I'll go and smear this peresh, this excrement on your faces because of the peresh chagechem. What does this mean? So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Le Amar Rav Chaga, it was either Rav Huna or Rav Chaga, they said, Elim and the others, a reference to the people, Shemenichin Divrei Torah, instead of spending their time learning Torah, they waste their time. Osin Koimen Chagim, and they make all the days like a chag. They make all the days into Gashmi's festivals, that they're taking care of their own needs and not taking care of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs, Kaviyochel. And the Gemara says, Amar Levi, Amar Papi, Amar Yeshua. Levi said the name of Papi, said the name of Yeshua, Liacha Shloshi Yomim. 3 days after the mace has died, Kireson of Kas, the stomach starts to split open, and Ophelos La Panov, and the insides of the stomach, so to say, come out on the face of the person as the body Nebuch decays. The Amerislo, it's as if the stomach is saying to the mace, to the body, Tol Mashina Satami, you face, take back what you put into me, I'm giving it back to you. Again, this is an analogy over here to the fact that a person's life, it's what he does with his life that's important. The unimportant things like taking in food and taking care of your gashmis needs, that's not what life is all about. And we're going to continue seeing this or in the Agadita that we'll be discussing in the next Gemara. But first, let's do the next Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off and says, now the gear that we have is ein ma'atzmin esames, which means to otzim, like to close the eyes of the mace. You're not allowed to do this on Shabbos because the eyes are open, so you're not allowed to close them because that's the muktzah, the eyes being open. You're not allowed to move the eyes to close the eyelid. That you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. The girsa that we have is ma'atzman. On the side, he brings down another girsa that this is from the Masoras HaShas, that this is the girsa should be me'amtsin. The mem comes before the tzadi. Or it could be with an aleph as well. Some have an aleph instead of the ayin. That was something we learned earlier in the Masechta. In any event, all this means the same thing, whether it's ma'amtsin with an aleph, whether it's ma'amtsin with an ayin, whether it's ma'atzmin, all of them mean the same thing. You're not allowed to close the eyes of the mace on Shabbos. And likewise, lo b'chol, and even on a weekday, you're not allowed to close the eyes if the person is not dead yet. Mitzias nefesh, the person is a goseis, if he's about to die, and you close the eyes, you're not allowed to touch a goseis, because anything you may do may cause him to die. And that's called ritzicha. Even a person who has only a few seconds to live, anything you do to hasten that death, it's very, very important, Nebuch, halacha l'maisa, in not allowing to do removal of certain procedures on a person, because even though they're going to die anyway, but if you go and do something that will even spur it by a second to make the person die faster, so that's a huge problem. That's ritzicha. It may not be punishable by Beis Din, but it's punishable by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if a person is doing this intentionally and knows what he's doing. And even if he doesn't know what he's doing, you're going to be held accountable for doing this major aveira. So the bottom line is, you're not allowed to do anything to hasten the death of a person. Even closing the eyes of a ghost, says, could hasten the death. You have to wait until Nebuch they pass away and then close the eyes. And in fact, the Mishnah states, Ma'atzin imitzias nebesh, if you go and close the eyes of the person before he's dead, as he's about to die, hareza shofech dam, and that's called ritzicha. Again, it's merciful. The person's doing it for the right purpose. He's not doing it to collect his yerusha. He's not doing it to go and murder the guy. But in halacha, it's considered ritzicha. So all these mercy deaths, these euthanasias that people do actively, so they're real, real isurim that a person could be over. And every one of these cases must be discussed with a competent rav to decide what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. To not do something to make a person a DNR, to make a person not have an aggressive treatment, that's allowed in many halachic situations. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Each case has to be individualized. But to stop something that's already going on, that's a huge problem. To do something that will hasten the death, that's even a bigger problem. Morris, that's what says Tana Rabbanon. Ha'ma'atzmo imitzias nefesh, ha'reis ha'shofik domen. We learn in the Braisa, similar to what we had in the Mishnah. If you go close somebody's eyes on a weekday, not to come to Shabbos, if you close somebody's eyes before they're dead, and that's going to hasten the death, so you are shofik domen. That's actual murder. Marshall, and the example that the Braisa gives to expand upon our Mishnah is Marshall Lanair Shekov of Lechas. You have a candle that's flickering, it's about to go out. So if you put your hand on the wick, Adam Maniach Etzmo Aleh, Miyak Kosa, it's going to go out right away. It would have gone out in 2 seconds, but you made it go out right away. So that's a problem. Tanya, another Braisa says, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Harotze, she is Atzum Eder Shemes. He has another way that you can go close the eyes of the mace on Shabbos without it causing the movement of the mace. Because we said you're not allowed to move the eyes of the mace. So he has another mechanism that will work. He says to make the eyes of the mace close on their own. No fich lo yayin b'chot. No, go and blow some wine into the mace's nose. Again, I don't know how this would work exactly, but this is what Rosh Hashanah said. V'nos in shem and b'risa enov. You'll have to put some oil in between the eyelashes of the mace. Again, you'll have to touch the mace. That's not a problem. You're not allowed to move the mace. But oches v'shnei gudlei raglov, and go grab the two big toes, the thumb, the big toe on each foot. Grab them. They miss amtsim me'alem, and that the eyes will somehow, it's a reflex. It will occur even if the mace is dead. The person is dead. Nevertheless, this reflex will occur and the eyes will close. Tani, we learned another bride. So Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shimon Gamliel says, Tinok ben yom ochai mechalum osa Shabbos, a one-day-old baby. You'll have to do everything to preserve that baby's life. You'll have to be mechal Shabbos. But David Melch is so mace. But if David Melch, when he's dead, You're not allowed to go be Michal Shabbos for a dead person, no matter who they were. David Melech Yisrael, nevertheless, a one-day-old, unimportant, quote, baby, you're allowed to do everything for, but David Melech, you're not allowed to do anything for him once he died. So again, we're talking about a live person versus a dead person. That's the big chiddush over here, that no matter how unimportant a one-day-old baby is, you can do everything to Michal Shabbos, and no matter how important a mace is, once they're a mace, you're not allowed to do anything to Michal Shabbos. Tinok ben Yomo, Chai, if you have a brand new baby that's alive, Michal Lins of Shabbos, why? Amr Torah, Chalel of Shabbos Echad. Better to desecrate this one Shabbos, Kidei Shishma, Shabbos Sabbath. The baby has a whole life ahead of it. If you go and desecrate Shabbos now and keep the baby alive, so it'll be Shomer thousands and thousands and thousands of Shabbos going forward. So of course you're allowed to do that. As opposed to David Melch Yisrael, Meis, Nebuch, David Melch is dead. In Michal Lins, you're not allowed Michal Shabbos, why? Kivin Shemes, Adam, Batel Min HaMitzos. Because once a person is dead, he is Chofshi Min HaMitzos. He's Batel, he has no obligation to do the mitzvah. So what are you going to do for him in this situation? Where do we see this from? Finally, Dom Rav Yochanan, this is what Rav Yochanan said. The Pasuk says, Bameisim Chofshi, in Tehillim it says that the dead are free. What does that mean? So Kivan Shemei saw that when a person passes away, Nasa Chofshi Min HaMitzos, you're free from the mitzvos. A person who is dead is considered free. A person who's alive is bound, Baruch Hashem, to do the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tanya, another b'risa, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, another b'risa of Shimon Elazar, he says as follows. Tinok ben Yom Chai, if you have a one-day-old baby that's alive, in Tzorach L'shom Menachuldo Menachbarim, you don't have to go and protect this from the weasels and from the mice. They'll stay away from a live baby. They recognize there's a chios in this baby, and they're going to stay away. They'll be scared of such a baby. However, Abel, Og Melech HaBoshan, the great giant Og, physically the greatest person that ever lived, the heavyweight champion of all time, Mace, if he's dead, so then, no matter how big and strong he was during his lifetime, once he's dead, he's zero, and even the mice and the weasels, they know that they don't have to be scared of him. That's why you have to protect his body, and a person does, you have to protect the body, because the mice and the weasels and other creatures aren't going to be afraid. Shenemar, because the pasuk says umo rachem, Rashi says it's a lashon of plural, so a double lashon over here, v'chitchem you, and your chias, that will be upon the animals. The animals will be afraid of you. Kol zman shadam chai, when a person is alive, all the time that a person is alive, a maso mutelas al brios, the fear of human beings is embedded into the brios. Kivin shemes, but when a person dies, nebuch bat lo a maso, this fear goes away, and the animals aren't scared of you. On Rapapa says, Nikitinon, we have a Kabbalah, Arye Abe Tre Lo Nofila, lion won't attack two people. Rashi says this is based upon the Pasuk, which says, Morachem, the fear of you, both of you. So if there's two of you, the lions will be afraid to attack you. Mor says, Haka Chazinon de Nofil, we see lions do attack people, even two people. Lions aren't afraid of two people. Mor says, how could the Rami Rabba? That goes in accord with what Rami Bar Abba said. Dama Rami Bar Abba, Rami Bar Abba said, In Chayesh Letzab Adam, a animal will be afraid of a human being and won't go and attack the human being unless Achidim Meloki Behema. If the person looks to him like an animal, so animals attack other animals. But if the person over here is going to act like an animal, so then if he appears like an animal, the animals aren't going to be afraid of him. But if he acts like a mensch, if he acts like a human being, the animals will be afraid of him. Shenemar, this is based upon another pasuk from Tehillim, for Adam, a man, bikar bayolin. When a man is in his full glory, in his manhood, he's acting like a mensch, so then he has nothing to worry about. Nimshal, however, he'll be overtaken by the animals, kibahemos nimbu. If he appears to them like an animal, so then they're not afraid of him. So it all depends how a mensch is. There are many, many stories of great Talmidei Chacham, even in recent times, where animals were attacking the town, and they didn't attack this great Talmud Chacham. They just bypassed him, or they ran away from him. Lions and other animals would run away from these Talmidei Chacham because they had the appearance of Tzelem Elokim, and they didn't tarnish it, and therefore the animals were truly afraid of them. But if a person, Nebuch, isn't acting like the Tzelem Elokim, so then the animals treat him like an animal, and animals aren't afraid to attack other animals. Amir Rechanina said, a person's not allowed to sleep alone in a house. Why not? Because it's dangerous. Because the demons, Lilas is the queen of all the demons, so she's going to attack him. So therefore, don't stay alone in a house. Mor says another b'risa of Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, another b'risa of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he says, I say, Rashi says this means give tzedakah, ach atomotze. Keep on giving tzedakah until you find somebody to go and take the tzedakah from you. So don't say, oh, there's no anim around, I'm not going to go give tzedakah. So he says, no, go and give tzedakah, put it aside until you find the person to give it to. Umwasi l'cha, and always have the money readily available to give it to him while you have the money. As Rashi says, mama, when you still have money, make sure you give plenty to tzedakah. V'odcha b'yodcha, and while you're still able to, as Rashi says, odcha b'yushuscha, called the Mishnah Talmud. It's no good to have all your money go to inheritors when you didn't give it to tzedakah. No, maybe they will, but then they'll get the credit for it. So you should still give your money to tzedakah while you have control over it. And this is similarly what Shlomo Melech said. Rav Shlomo Amar b'chokhmah, so Shlomo Melech said also, again, back to the 12th parak of Koheles, Uzuchor es barecha b'mei b'churosecha, remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your youth, Adash elo yavo yimei hara, because the evil days are going to come. What is this a reference to? Eli me'azikna. When a person gets older, those are called the evil days in his youth. When he's powerful, when a person's in the prime of life, so that's when he has to make sure that he remembers HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So old age is referred to as yimei hara. Then it says, the person can say, I've reached years that I have no pleasure in them. So what's that a reference to? This is talking about when Mashiach comes. Person can't change anything at that point in time. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be too late, according to this man, the Yomar, according to this Brisa. All your deeds are accounted for before, and you can't make yourself better, you can't make yourself worse. That's going to be during the days of the Mashiach, and there'll be nobody to give tzedakah to. So how are you going to go give tzedakah at that point in time? Therefore, Rashi explains, everybody's going to have money, so you won't be able to do the mitzvah tzedakah at that point in time. But this argues with Pliga the Shmuel. Shmuel disagrees with his Braisa. It's unusual for Shmuel to disagree with the Braisa, but when you're dealing with a Gadita, so you're allowed to. Or Shmuel has some Tana that we just don't know that he's also holding like. Pliga the Shmuel, this idea that in the Yemos HaMashiach, be no more poor people, you won't be able to give tzedakah, goes against what Shmuel learned. Shmuel says, "Ein bein ol mazel, yimos Mashiach." There's no difference between this world and when Mashiach comes. The only thing it will be Elishibut Malchus Bavad, that Eretz Yisrael will be at the center of the world. Nobody's going to argue about Eretz Yisrael. That's the only thing that will change. But there'll still be work to go to. There'll still be poor people. There'll still be rich people, and there'll still be an opportunity to give tzedakah. Shenemar, based upon the pasuk that says, "Ki lo yachdal evyo mikev aris," the poor people will not stop to exist. There'll still be poor people in the world. Tanya, another bright saw, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, Lo'olam Yivaki Shalom Rachmel Midazu. Person should always beg to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu mercy about poor, being poor, about poverty. As Rashi says, Shalom Yavo Lidei Anius, you shouldn't come to become impoverished. The Dover HaMazuman Hu, Lavo, it comes regularly to people. Oh, a love on himself, oh, a banav, on his son, oh, a b'nei banav, on his grandchildren. So a person should constantly daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he shouldn't be in an impoverished state, and the other himself, nor his children, or his grandchildren. Shimu lo ba, because if it doesn't come on a person, ba b'no, it's going to come on his sons. And if it doesn't come on his sons, b'no lo ba, then ben b'no ba, it's going to come on his grandchildren. Why is that? Shinama, the pasuk says, ki biglal hadavar hazeh. The pasuk says, because you did all your terrible things, so therefore, you're going to be punished for this. And we play on the word biglal. Tana d'vei Rishmo, Galgal hu shechoz b'olam. This is a wheel that's going to turn. Sometimes you're at the top of the wheel, sometimes you're sitting pretty on the top of the world, and other times the wheel turns and you're at the bottom of the world, you're a poor person. So this is just a question of time. The person has it good himself. Now he should beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should stay good. And then his children should be good, his grandchildren should be good, because the normal cycle is that it will turn. And that even if you're good, you're not impoverished. Your children, your grandchildren, they could become impoverished. So a person has to constantly beg to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy in this regard. Amar Yosef, Yosef adds, however, Nikitana, we have a Kabbalah, Haitzuvim Rabbanan, a Tamachacham, lo mi'ani, will never become poor. Where it says, Walka Chazina, the mi'ani. We see lots of Tamachacham that are impoverished. So how can you say they're not going to become poor? Where it says, no. Im Isa the mi'ani, even if they do become poor, Ahadure Apischa lo mi'ade, they're not going to be embarrassed. They're not going to have to go and beg from door to door, because Mistama, they'll have people that will support them. The Aruch HaShulchan brings down a beautiful idea. He says, you can prevent this galgal from being mistovev, this wheel from turning, by saying, by collecting tzedakah on behalf of others. One of the greatest ways to prevent poverty coming to you and your family is to go and solicit funds from other people for tzedakah, obviously to give yourself, but also to solicit funds from other people. The Aruch HaShulchan brings down as a skula to go and prevent this cycle of poverty from occurring. The Gemara tells you another statement. Amalei Reb Chia Ledevisu, Reb Chia told his wife, Ki osei Anya, if a poor person comes to our door, akdime le rifta, quickly run to give him bread. Don't wait. Don't keep him waiting. So, when your children need poor food, they're poor and they need food, and they go to somebody's door, that person will come and answer the door quickly for them. So, Amrele, his wife says to him, Melen kolaitlis luhu, why are you cursing our children? She says, I'm not cursing them. I'm a law. No, Karaki said, this is the pasuk. it's a galgal and a stove. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. So we should be extra careful when we are Baruch Hashem in the position to give tzedakah, so that it will be a rachamim for us if our family or us ever need tzedakah. So just the way we were generous with giving tzedakah, we should be generous if we have to receive tzedakah as well. Tanya Rishmol said in the base measure of Rishmol, galgal hu shechoz b'olam. This is the pasuk that he quoted, that this is a galgal. So this is the galgal and the stove. Tanya, another bright so Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Gamliel, who was the son of Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, had a son, Rabbi Gamliel. The names Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Gamliel were famous names in the lineage of Rabbi. In any event, it's the pasuk says, "Unasan l'chol rachamim richamecha v'hirbecha." This week's parsha, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you rachamim and he'll be merciful upon you. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the way the world works is mida k'neged mida. The way you act is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to act towards you. If you're merachim on other people, Hashem will be merachim on you. If somebody's not nice to other people, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, I'll treat you the same way you treat other people. The way you act towards others is the way I'll act towards you. So if you're not merciful to other people, then I'm not going to be merciful to you. Then the pasuk says, continuing from Koheles, Ada Shelot Hershach Hashemesh Ror, the 12th parak of Koheles, it says, before the sun and the light goes away, before it gets dark. That's a reference over here. This is the reference to the body. Zupadachas vechotem. This is a reference to a person aging, to his spadachas is his forehead, and his chotem is his nose. Rashi explains his forehead, his meitzach, shu chalok, is normally smooth, umatzir, it shines, yosem kol parts from the rest of the face. And the nose, shu torah bipnei adam, that's like the leading point of the person. So this reference to the shemesh and the or getting weaker is a reference to a person getting older, that this luster of his face goes away. By a reach, it says the moon, that's a reference to the neshama. Rashi says, Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam. So the light of the moon, that's a reference over here to the neshama of a person. HaKochavim Elu HaLesosos. This is a reference to the cheeks, the L'chayim, Rashi says. V'shavu El'ovim Achar HaGeshem. And the clouds will come back after the rain. Zumor Enav Shalodim. This is a reference to the eyes of a person. Shaholech Achar HaBechi. That get weaker by, the eyesight gets weakened by crying. So basically what this is saying is as a person grows older, all of his senses, all of his abilities get weaker, and the person starts to cry. And this is actually going to worsen things further by making his eyesight deteriorate. Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Hay dimasa, this crying, ad arbin shnin hadra. Until you're 40 years old, if you cry, your body can, so to say, recuperate from it. Mikan ve'elech, after that, lo hadra. But the body isn't going to be able to recuperate from it as well. Amar Rav Nachman, Hay kochala. Rav Nachman says this treatment that they used to put, this kochla that they used to put into the eyes, a certain type of salve, a medicine they put in the eyes, so ad arbim shnin marvach, until 40 years old, it actually improves the eyesight. Bikam ve'elech, if you put it into a person who's older than 40 years old, it won't improve it, but it will prevent further deterioration. Afilu maya kavsino ad girudai. Even if you go put in a beam, avsino is a beam, girudai is a weaver, if you put in a large amount of this salve into the eyes, it won't make it better. It will stop it from getting worse. However, avuchi lo marvach, it won't make it better. Gemara says, Michael Mashallah, no, why are you telling this? Rav Nachman, you told us a nice thing about don't put so much eye salve in your eyes. It's not going to help you get your eyes better. It'll maybe just prevent it from getting worse. What's the chiddush over here? So he says, the kama da alim machuchlo tfei ma'ale. He says, if you have to put in this stuff, so the more you put in, the better, the thicker. Rashi says, alim means ab. The thicker you make it, so then it's better to do so. So, as Rashi points out, so when you put in a lot of this, it's better for the eye. Now, Rabbi Chanina, he lost his daughter. But he didn't cry over her. So Amalei Dvisu, his wife said to him, how come you're not crying? Tanagota, afikas mibesech, what, we just lost a chicken over here, and it's not such a big deal? You lost your daughter, Rachmana Litzlan. So Amalei, so he told her, no, Nebuch, I lost my daughter, but what should I do? Tarte, I should have a double problem? Should I have the tichla, the ivra? So Nebuch, I lost the daughter already. So in addition to that, I should also lose my eyesight? In other words, I'm an older person. As we said, if you cry and you're older, so then it's not a good thing. It's going to make you go blind. So therefore, he said, it doesn't pay for me to do this. I'm not going to gain anything from this. The Mefarshim explained here in a number of interesting ways. You can see this in the Avos Eson and the Yin Yaakov. You can see this in Ben Yoyada and others. So they say that Rabbi Chanina's wife was upset that her daughter had died and that her husband wasn't mourning. in this situation. So she assumed that he's not easily brought to tears. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us that if you're not maspid a person properly, so then that could lead, Rachmana Lislan, to a kosher person saying, oh, you didn't cry properly, I'll give you something to cry about. So she thought in some way that maybe Rabbi Chanina is not being maspid other people because he's not easily brought to tears is the reason that their daughter, Rachmana Lislan, died. She said, no, I always mourned people properly when I was younger, but now, since I'm an older person, I can't cry because it will cause Rachmana Lislan a deterioration in his vision. Some suggest that the word vision means his progeny, his future, what he sees, so to say, into the future. And he was still interested in having children. And therefore he said, I don't want to do something that will be making me less likely to have children. The Avos Eisen brings down that there are 8 reasons why a person might not have such strong zera. And one of them is excessive crying. So therefore, he said, I want to still have children. I want to still do the mitzvah. And we had previously that a person wants to comfort his wife. So by having tashmish as his wife, it could be a consolation to his wife. He said, I don't want to lose that ability. And therefore, that's why he wasn't crying. Mark says, Rav Chanina was holding like that which Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rav Yosef ben Kitzarta, Shesh Dimos Hain. There are 6 types of tears that a person can have. Shalosh Ofos, 3 are good. Shalosh Ofos, 3 are bad. So, Shal Oshan, if you have tearing in your eyes from smoking, excessive smoking, that's not good. Shal Bechi, or if you're crying over terrible strategies that happened to you, so that's not good. It's actually Mitoch Ebel Vitzor, so that's not a good type of tears. Shal Besakis, if a person, Rachman al-San, has such bad stomach pains that he's Mitoch Yisurin, Rashi says, he has such severe pains that he's crying because of the severe pains in his stomach, so then those tears aren't good. Rose, they're bad. Shal Sam, however, if you took a medicine and that made you have tears, or Vishal Sok, some people they're laughing so hard that they cry, or Vishal Peros, or Rashi explains, Kigon Reachardo, like you're crying because of mustard, or because of onions, or garlic, or something like that. So those tears are actually good, Yofos, they're good for the eyes. This is a good place for us to stop, and Yitzhak Hashem will pick up discussing more of the 12th parak of Koheles in Yitzhak Hashem tomorrow's shir.